Father, we do ask that you would search us and try us and see if there be any wicked way within us. Father, we know that you promised that if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven and you would heal our land. Father, our country is on the brink of a precipice. Father, we have been for a while with the evil that was being done in the land, with abominations that were being done and called normal. Father, may this pandemic now have gotten our attention. Father, we pray for those who have lost their lives, for the loved ones who are left. But Father, we also pray for those who have not been affected by the illness, but been affected by the shutdown, been affected by the loss of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those who can no longer earn a living, those who can no longer feed their family, those who can no longer assemble peaceably. Father, may we have eyes to see and ears to hear during these days what's going on. But mostly, Father, may we look up, lift up our eyes, and know whence our help comes from. Father, we ask for wisdom in the days ahead, that we would know how to walk, that we would continue to lift you up, Messiah, that you might draw all men into you. But that we would have the strength and the fortitude as those who have passed before us to stand for righteousness, to stand for freedom, and to stand for those things that so many have fought and bled for. We ask a touch to all of those who are sick, who are listening even right now. For those who have needs, Ruach HaKodesh, would you touch each of them, even as they hear this? Let your shalom peace be upon them. Let them know that truly you have them in the palm of your hand. Amen and amen. Good morning. It's good to be back amongst you, even though we're not yet out of the shelter-in-place order. We just felt it was important to begin to do the things that we should be doing. Just welcome those who are joining us by podcast, by the broadcast. I hope you're all staying safe during these days. But that we would also have the tenacity to do the things that we know we should do in the days ahead. Let's open today looking at Luke 14 before we get to our Torah portion. Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and his own life too, he is unable to be my taught one. Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and his own life too, he is unable to be my taught ones. We see Messiah saying this, yet we have a whole country now that their whole actions and our actions have been asked to be based off of caring for our own life and the lives of our father, our mother, our brother, our sister, our wife, our children. And while I love my wife and I love my children, I love my mother and my sister, I care for those who are in our body. That's not supposed to be the foremost thing in our life. Our foremost thing in our life is supposed to be His word, His truth, Him being God in my life. And that doing what is right, even when it cost me those things, knowing that walking in His way is the best. That He loves my wife more than I do. That He loves my children more than I do. That He loves my mother and my sister, those of my friends, those in our society, more than even I do. And whoever does not bear his stake and come after me is unable to be my taught one. For who of you, wishing to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is unable to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was unable to finish." We all need to look today and see, do we have the cost, the price to finish what we've already began? It's sad that we have had over 900,000 infected and over 46,000, I believe it is, that have perished during this time. And I'm sure that each of those lives and those loved ones who there are precious. But we've also had over 27 million people unemployed, out of work. So 500 to 600 people whose lives have been irrevocably changed for each death. We've seen lines on the news here local as the local food bank and the industries came together to give out 500 food portions to families. And people are lining up at 5 o'clock in the morning, even though they don't start giving out till 9 o'clock. And they were turning people away. So then they went to 750. And they're still turning people away because the need that people have is dire during these times. We've seen the government send out the stimulus, but yet there's no income coming into the country with it shut down. Our debt is growing larger and larger, and it was already at an unsustainable point. We see our economy again continuing to be propped up, but the numbers not matching. You know, silver, I think, was trading at 1548, something like that, at the close yesterday. But to actually buy a silver coin and get it in your hand, they were going 28, 30, 35. The reality of what's out there is not matching what the paper is saying, what the news is saying, what the reality is saying. They say that we have more beef in the cold storage right now than we have in the last 5 years, but the store shelves are empty. They say there's no milk shortage, but all of the stores are limiting you to 1 gallon or 2 gallons of milk, and the farmers are pouring it down the drains because they can't get it to market. They say there's no shortage of eggs and chickens, but you see the prices going up and the processing plants shut down. Yeast is hard to come by. Grains are hard to be ordered in bulk. The Mississippi Delta is still underwater, and 500,000 acres are not getting planted. But yet, there's no reporting on any of the things that are happening except the numbers every day of the pandemic. So literally, our world and our country is changing before our eyes. And most people are just worried, what are we doing with the children? We can't go out to eat. We're worried that we can't go out to eat, but we're not worried that our freedom of assembly has been taken away. We're worried, what are we going to do with the children? Oh, they missed prom, and we're not worried that freedom of religion, the churches have been shut down. We're concerned what's going to happen next fall, and we're not even looking at what's going to happen next week. Verse 31, what sovereign going to fight against another sovereign does not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes out against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. Are we trading away our freedom for conditions of peace? We see reports in the news where pastors are being arrested for defying orders, where business owners are being arrested for defying orders. But most of the time, that's because the community has called on them and complained, has called and said they're defying the orders. We literally are living in a police state now where neighbor is turning in neighbor. And police are breaking their oaths to defend, to serve, to protect, and saying, I was just following orders. The same excuse that was given during the Nuremberg trials for why the atrocities happened in World War II in Germany. We were just following orders. Martial law hasn't even been declared, yet we've heard over and over where the police said, well, the Constitution doesn't matter. during an emergency. The Constitution was written expressly for times of emergency. And even more than the Constitution, His Word was written expressly for the times of emergency. It's easy to follow His way when there's no cost to it. It's only when there's a cost that you see what you truly believe, what you truly live, what you truly stand for. Verse 33, so then, every one of you who does not give up all that he has is unable to be my taught one. Now, this isn't me. This is Jesus speaking. This is Yeshua Messiah. In some Bibles, these words are in red. He is saying, if we're not willing to give up all, we're unable to be his disciples, his taught ones. Oh, but I believed. I prayed a prayer. I've been baptized. I'm a member of the church. I've been going for years. Talk to Jesus about it. The salt is good, but if the salt becomes tasteless, with what shall it be seasoned? It is not fit for land nor for manure. They throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It is time for us to stand, to humble ourselves, and to pray and repent from our wicked ways, to return to His Word, to return to Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, who in the beginning was the Word and was with the Word, was the Word and was, excuse me, in the beginning was the Word and was with God and was God and became flesh and dwelt among us, as John 1 says, to realize that as he was on the road to Emmaus and showed the disciples and opened the Old Testament and went through the Old Testament, the prophets, and showed how it all was about him, that we need to take the whole counsel of God. That as Paul said, that all Scripture is given by inspiration, and all Scripture is good for correction, for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. As he told Timothy, the Scriptures that you've had from a youth are to lead you to Messiah, to the knowledge of Christ. There is a time for us to return to the whole Testament, to all of His Word, that His Word can truly be a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path, that we can know how to walk through this darkness and through these ways. But it's also time for us to realize it's time to stand for righteousness. It's time to stand for justice. It's time to stand for mercy. That it's not okay to give way to tyranny just for peace. That if we don't stand during these days, then when the country returns to normal, we may not have a country. For all of the businessmen who have spent their time and effort and now are losing their businesses by the thousands, never to open again. All of the families who have done what is right have gone to work day in, day out. Yet no longer get a paycheck, so they can't make ends meet. But on the other hand, the businesses that they are indebted to that have provided a product, have provided the service, have held up their end. Yet now they're not getting paid because the borrower is no longer working, so he can't meet his obligations. So that our entire economy and that of the world, because this is not just localized to the United States, is on a precipice. And many are beginning to go, who will save us? I know whence my help comes from, but I also know what the back of the book says, and that in those days, one will arise saying, oh, I'll save you. Just do this. Just take this mark. Just cooperate. Just for the good of all, a little compromise. It's time for us to wake up, to shake off the slumber that so easily besets us. And truly to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in those days. I encourage you to pray, to read, to get into the Scripture, to study, to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, not just of his word, but of the things that are going on around you. And to be prepared for the days ahead. Count the cost. Decide now whom you shall serve. And make sure that is the mark that you are taking. We are in Exodus. We left off last week in chapter 14. If you've looked at the Torah portion in your guide or on the website, I know last week it said Exodus 13, 1 through 20, but if you joined with us or go back to the podcast, I continued up till 14, verse 15. So we're going to pick up today in 14, 15. And then we'll be back on the reading portion as it's printed. Exodus 14, 15, and Yah spoke to Moshe, why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel and let them go forward. And you lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it and let the children of Israel go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I see I'm strengthening the hearts of the Midianite and they shall follow them. I am to be esteemed through Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. The Midianite shall know that I am Yah when I am esteemed through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And the messenger of Elohim, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind him. And the column of cloud went from before them and stood behind them and came between the camp of the Midianites and the camp of Israel. And it was the cloud and the darkness, and it gave light by night. And the one did not come near the other all the night. I truly believe the word of Yah to us is to go forward. Yah will be esteemed through Pharaoh, through the Mitzrites, through the powers of this day. And they will have a chance, as Pharaoh did, to turn. But not many times through history have they taken that chance. But not to be afraid during this time, because his cloud will come between those who are amassed and his people, so that nothing will be able to cross over in between. You know, that sounds like the greatest PPE to me that I've ever heard. That he will be my shield. That he will be my provider. For we know he is Yahuwah Yara, our provider. He is El Shaddai, the mighty one. He is Yahuwah Rapha, our healer. And this pandemic did not take him by surprise. Nor is he fretting now over what to do. But he revealed the end from the beginning. He told us in the last days there would be plagues. He gave in many hearts in the days past to prepare, to be ready, though we didn't know for sure what was coming. He told us about being set apart. Come out of her, my people, that you partake not of her plagues and of her sins. Long before social distancing was fashionable. So that if I walk in his ways and am led by his Ruach HaKodesh, by his spirit, he has promised that he is more than able to do all that he has promised. Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And the waters were a wall to them on their right and on their left. The Mitzrites pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all the horses of Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to be in the morning watch that Yah looked down upon the army of the Mitzrite through the column of fire and cloud. And he brought the army of the Mitzrites into confusion. He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Mitzrites said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for Yahuwah fights for them against the Mitzrites." Then Yah said to Moshe, "Stretch out your hand over the sea. Let the waters come back upon the Mitzrites on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea, and their sea returned to its usual flow at the break of day, with the Mitzrites fleeing into it. Thus Yah overthrew the Mitzrites in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and not even one was left of them. The children of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right and on their left. Thus Yah saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Mitzrites, and Israel saw the Mitzrites dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work which Yah had done in Mitzrayim, and the people feared Yah and believed Yah and his servant Moshe. So here again, if we remember the whole Passover story, Israel had been enslaved. Moshe came and told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, no. Yah did miracles. And in the beginning, Pharaoh's magicians matched those miracles. They did the same thing. In the beginning, it seemed like they had a handle on things. As times progressed, Yah, through the hand of Moses and Aaron, began to do miracles that the magicians weren't able to do. And they had to admit this must be the finger of Yah. Then Yah began to make a distinction between the land of Egypt and the land of Goshen. There was darkness in Egypt, but not in Goshen. Pestilence came to Egypt, but not to Goshen. So the Yah began to make a distinction between his people and those who continued to listen to the world order, the power, the ruler of that time. All you had to do if you didn't want to partake of the plagues was go to Goshen. Because it didn't say there was light in Goshen among the Israelites. It said there was light in Goshen. To where by the end, when Pesach came, when they were to slaughter the lamb and put the blood upon the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over, and the firstborn were killed, and Israel was driven out of Egypt, out of Mitzrayim, the scripture says a mixed multitude went up with them. It seemed that by that time, some of the others had woken up. Some people's attention had been gotten. Hopefully today, some who have been languishing by the waysides have had their attention awoken. I pray that many are seeking during these days to have a truer, a deeper walk with him, that many who have never even considered will stop and see that he is the one true God. That many will come through this time. But those who chose to leave, though all the plagues had stopped, Pharaoh decided that wasn't good enough. And he went after them. Yah again stood, the cloud by day and the fire by night, between the two, so that nothing came upon them. They didn't meet. And he made a way where there seemed to be no way through the midst of the sea. Yet Pharaoh pursued them into the sea. The wall of the water was on their left and the right, it said, so that they could not turn. They could only go the straight and narrow way. Is his word a wall on our right and our left? Does it constrain us to only go the path that he opens? And if we walk that, will it be our salvation and his glory as the powers of this world could be swept away in a moment? We stand at a time in history, perhaps like no other time, or perhaps as times past have, where there is a possibility for a great change to be upon us. Will we be counted this time? The United States wanted to count us this year, as it was supposed to be the census 2020. They wanted to see the lay of the land and perhaps redraw the political maps and landscape. They wanted to apportion the economy and the wealth and the aid depending upon the population, even mandated by law. Yet it seems that Father had another plan. Do we have an opportunity now to see him mandate the political scene? To see him mandate the resources? And will we stand together with one voice, with one mind? Will we, as brothers, come together in unity? Can we all come together in the unity and the bonds of peace and of the Spirit, knowing that we have one constitution, His Word, that we have one belief, His Word, so that His Word will be preeminent and that we can walk in His way, that truly then we will have turned from our wicked ways because we will be walking according to His Word. And He has promised if we would do that, He would heal our land. Or will we, as we saw His people over and over do, fail to repent and calamity overtake them? I truly believe we have two paths laid before us, and that no other time in my lifetime have we had such a great choice laid before us, and that our everyday actions have been at such a cost. What will you believe during these days? What will you do? How will you live? Whose authority will you walk under? And therefore, whose protection will you walk under? Then Moshe and the children of Israel sang this song, 15:1, to Yah, and spoke, saying, I sing to Yah, for He is highly exalted. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. Yah is my strength and song. He has become my deliverance. He is my El, and I praise Him. Elohim of my father, and I exalt Him. Yah is a man of battle. Yah is His name. He has cast Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea, and His chosen officers are drowned in the sea of reeds. The depths covered them. They went down to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Yahuwah, has become great in power. Your right hand, O Yahuwah, has crushed the enemy. And in the greatness of Your excellence, You pulled down those who rose up against You. You sent forth Your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the wind of Your nostrils, the waters were heaped up. The flood stood like a wall. The depths became stiff in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I pursue, I overtake, I divide the spoils. My being is satisfied on them. I draw out my sword, my hand destroys them. You did blow with Your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like You, O Yah, among the mighty ones? Who is like You, great in set apartness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You know, we need to be wary of what the world powers are seeking. But I think many are relishing these times of government overreach, of tyranny, of imperial power. But they don't have the final word. They don't have the final power. They don't even see as they're rushing headlong into the sea, instead of humbling themselves under His hand. Verse 12, You stretch out Your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In Your loving commitment, You led the people whom You have redeemed. In Your strength, You guided them to Your set apart dwelling. Peoples heard, they trembled, anguish gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were troubled. The mighty men of Moab trembling grips them. All the inhabitants of Canaan melted. Fear and dread fell on them. By the greatness of your arm, they are as silent as a stone until your people pass over. O Yah, until the people whom you have bought, pass over. You bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. In the place, O Yah, which you have made for your own dwelling, the set-apart place, O Yah, which your hands have prepared, Yah reigns forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and Yah brought back the waters of the sea upon them, and the children of Israel went on dry ground in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to Yah, for he is highly exalted, the horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." Again, I believe we stand literally upon a choice where we can see the world tremble at Yah's might, at his deliverance, at his people who he will bring out. If we will walk in his ways, if we will believe with all of our heart that we would love him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. That it wouldn't just be a faith dead, but it would be faith with works, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. That we would show Yeshua that we love him by keeping his commandments. That we would forsake all and hate all for that call which we've been called, and that we could see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe we stand at a place in history again, as we'll see in a few chapters, as they stood on the border of the promised land. And as the spies went out and brought back an evil report and said, "Oh, there were giants in the land, and we were but as grasshoppers." But two stood and said, "No, let us go up and take it, for surely he is able to do that which he has said." As we're in the midst of counting the omers, we're in the midst of looking forward to Shavuot, to the giving of the commandments, to the time of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit coming down, and the birth of those who would follow in the way. The promise given because of his sacrifice as our Paschal Lamb. Will we again believe the evil report? We're not able to go in. Or will we believe and rise up and take the land? Will we take our inheritance? Will we believe in the days ahead, the physical borders of Israel? Or will we believe the two-state solution? Will we believe that we are a country founded upon God, indivisible, one nation under God? And will we expect our nation to be under God, to follow his ways, to put the evil out of the camp? Or will we, in the name of tolerance, continue to abide with evil. Let it vex our very souls. And as Lot did, see the entire plains be destroyed. We're coming quickly upon May and the time of the second Passover. For those who were not clean upon the first one. And again, this year as second supermoon in the row will denote the beginning of it. On the Gregorian calendar, it'll be the National Day of Prayer, the day before the second Passover. The final day of the second Passover, which would be a high Sabbath for those who are observing it, will correlate again with the counting of the Omer and the time of his deliverance during the Bar Kokhba revolt, his time of deliverance from plague and pestilence. We see an aligning in the heavens of events of the past few years. We see, again, circumstances all coming into being for these next few weeks. And we hear from our leaders at the exact same time, these next few weeks will determine the direction of the country. How important that we come boldly into his throne room. That we get so close that we can hear the very whisper. That we won't be distracted by the whirlwind, by the tornadoes, literally, that have plagued our state. But we will listen to that small, still voice. Know that there are thousands who have not bowed a knee, but not stand for the idolatry that has overtaken our land. And to see the direction change in the next few weeks, toward Yah and not against. Or will we lose another generation because we would not rise up during these days? I believe that it is this time that we live. Judges 4. It said verse 4, but I'm going to go ahead and read the entire chapter. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the eyes of Yah. Therefore, Yah sold them in the hand of Jabin, the sovereign of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who was dwelling in Horseth Haggoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to Yah because he had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth was ruling Israel at that time, and she was dwelling under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Beth-El in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for right ruling. And she sent and called for Barak, son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, Has not Yah Elohim of Israel commanded, go, and you shall draw toward Mount Tabor, and shall take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and I shall draw unto you Sisera, the commander of Yabin's army, with his chariots and his company at the Wadi Kishon, and shall give him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you go with me, then I shall go. But if you do not go with me, I do not go. And she said, I will certainly go with you, only there shall be no esteem for you in the journey you are taking, for Yah is going to sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. So Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up, 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. And Aver the Canaanite, or the Cainite of the children of Hoab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Sinaim, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera called all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Horsheth Hagoyim to the Wadi Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, rise up, for this is the day in which Yah has given Sisera into your hand. Has not Yah gone out before you? And Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men after him, and Yah destroyed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera leaped from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Horosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not one was left. Sisera, meanwhile, had fled on foot to the tent of Yael, the wife of Eber, the Kenite, for there was peace between Yabin, sovereign of Hazor, and the house of Eber, the Kenite. And Yael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my master, turn aside to me, I do not fear. So he turned aside with her into the tent, and she covered him with a blanket. And he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and it shall be, if anyone comes and asks you and says, is there a man here? You shall say no. But Yael, Eber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in his hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into the side of his head. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and exhausted, and he died. And see, as Barak pursued Sisera, Yael came out to meet him and said to him, come, let me show you the man whom you are seeking. And when we went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in the side of his head. And on that day, Elohim humbled Yabin, sovereign of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Yabin, sovereign of Canaan, until they had cut off Yabin, sovereign of Canaan. Again, are we going to rise up? Even though Deborah prophesied to Barak, he still had to take his army and go do the fight. But yet he barely believed. Yet he said, if you go up, I'll go up. But if you don't, I'm not going up by myself. So she went up, but she told him, you're not going to get the victory. A woman will. And thankfully, there was a wise woman there who took a peg and took a hammer and took care of business. Are we as men going to rise up during this time to lead our families? Are we going to rise up and take the responsibility for our country again? Are we going to rise up and defend our families, our neighbors, our friends, and the things that are being taken from them? Are Are we going to cower and continue to see tyranny strengthen and grow? Revelations 15. Starting in verse 1. And I saw another sign in the heaven, great and marvelous, seven messengers having the seven last plagues, for the wrath of Elohim was ended in them. And I saw like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those overcoming the beast in his image and his mark and the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of Elohim, and they sing the song of Moshe, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Yahuwah El Shaddai. Righteous and true are your ways, O sovereign of the set apart ones. Who shall fear you, O Yah, and esteem your name? Who shall not fear you, O Yah, and esteem your name? Because you alone are kind, because all nations come and worship before you, for your righteousness has been made manifest. Will we see his righteousness made manifest in these times? Will we be able to overcome the beast and his image and the mark and the number of his name? Listen to how they did it. Verse 3. They sing the song of Moshe. What was the song of Moshe? We read it today that Yah overcame the Egyptians. Why did he overcome the Egyptians? Because Israel had obeyed. They had put the blood upon the doorpost. They came out and were now going into Sinai to receive his commandments. But it wasn't just the song of Moshe. It says, and the song of the Lamb. We know that it's not the blood of bull and goats. It wasn't even the blood upon the doorpost. The blood upon the doorpost was a sign of the Lamb that was slain to take away the sins of the world. But the blood upon the doorpost only allowed the destroyer to pass over. Israel still had to get up and come out of Egypt. They still had to flee. They had to ask gold of their neighbors. They had to march out in rank toward the sea. They had to pass over the sea through the waters. They had to continue to Sinai. They had to continue to the promised land, and they had to believe to go in. So it did not end with the blood of the Lamb upon the doorpost. It began. And so in our life, it doesn't end just when we accept Messiah and his blood is applied to the doorpost of our house. But as we read in the weeks previous, he promised that he would write his laws upon my inward member. In Hebrews, that he would teach us so that we didn't need to be taught by any man. And another says that he overcame them by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Now, what's a testimony? If you go to court and there's a testimony, what's the testimony about? It's testifying about what happened, what took place, what action was done. And so it is here. We have to have the blood of the Lamb, yes, and only by his blood. For he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But he said, if you're my disciples, keep my commandments. If you don't hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, you're unable to be my disciple. If you don't count the cost, if you don't see that you're able to fight the fight, if you don't take up your cross daily, you're unable to be my disciples. James said, faith without works is dead. We know that without faith, it is impossible to believe, to please him. So that again, yes, I need to believe, but that belief is the Shema, the hear and obey. So that when I hear, prepare, I prepare. That when Noah believed, he didn't just believe, but he built an ark. When Abraham believed, he didn't just believe, but he got up and left and went to where he had never been. That when Abraham believed, he didn't just believe, but he took Isaac and put him up on the altar and raised the knife. So that our belief is not futile, but is the evidence of things hoped for, the proof of the things that are unseen. And that because of the great price of which I've been purchased with, then I reckon myself dead, that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me. That I'm no longer my own, that I've been bought with a price. That I'll put to death the works of the flesh, that I might live into the Spirit. That truly greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. And that I can die to self, that I might live unto Christ. Matthew 15:5, and after this I looked and saw the dwelling place of the tent of witness in the heaven was open, and out of the dwelling place came the seven messengers, having the seven plagues, dressed in clean, bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven messengers seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of Elohim, who lives forever and ever. And the dwelling place was filled with smoke from the steam of Elohim and from his power. And no one was able to enter the dwelling place until the seven plagues of the seven messengers were ended. May truly his esteem fill all of us. May nothing be able to enter this temple until all the plagues are ended. May I be full of his esteem as I listen, as I obey, as I hear, as I do, as I study to show myself approved, as I present my body a living sacrifice, which is my reasonable service, and as I'm not conformed to the world, not listening to their voice, their direction, their advice, but I am transformed through the renewing of my mind, that I might prove to myself and to all those watching, what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of Yah. Father, help us in these days ahead to know what we should do and to do it. Help us in these days ahead to stand boldly, knowing that you have placed us here, that you have placed us in this time, and that you have placed us that when we have done all, we can stand. May we have wisdom for the days ahead. May we have eyes to hear and ears to hear. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchuto, Leolam Vayed. Shabbat Shalom.